amitié avec toi. Parce que depuis toujours, chaque fois que je te voyais, je me disais que tu étais la femme que je désirais. Et vraiment que je désirais de telle façon, c'est tellement adorable. Je ne savais quoi faire.
Hello, thank you for joining us today. This is Mindy McNeil, and in studio I am joined, as always, by Carolyn Joy of Joy Wine and Spirits for our monthly wine, beer, and food pairing. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Mindy.
Hello. And Carolyn and I are joined in studio by Chef Garrett Meyer from Sarto's in Jefferson Park. So thanks for joining us, Chef Garrett.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We've got a couple different things going on. We've got some gnocchi tots.
We have some gnocchi tots. It's kind of a house favorite at Sarto's. Started out as a brunch item that quickly made its way to the menu. Halfway between a traditional gnocchi, halfway between a modern tater tot. It is gluten-free. We use a little bit of cornstarch to create the tater tot-like feel on the outside and then nice and soft pillowy potato on the inside.
All right. So this is starting with the appetizer.
Correct.
And you've got, it looks like, is that coconut on? Like a
No,
what is
no,
this?
That would be like a shaved Parmesan cheese, essentially.
Oh.
Very fine, very fine.
Okay.
Grana Padana, to be specific. So.
What kind of Italian are you, Mindy?
mozzarella. No, I'm kidding.
To pair it in the middle, we have just kind of a little bit of aioli.
Okay, so is it a regular aioli or a garlic aioli?
It's a little bit of garlic.
Oh, okay. Now he's speaking my language.
Yeah.
Okay,
you're
saying garlic.
There
okay.
You go.
So I come into Sarto's. I start with my gnocchi top, but then
we're doing a Tuscan summer menu. Currently, we kind of rotate with the seasons. The dish we're talking about specifically is a ricotta-filled tortelli. We have a caponata of summer vegetables, a little bit of pureed eggplant on the bottom, some variations of red pepper, some radish. So kind of more of a deconstructed caponata to go with the tortelli. Parmesan, a little bit of microgreens on top. Very simple. Let the pasta shine.
So caponata, tell us a little bit about that because...
Sure. In its
traditional
form,
yeah.
It's more of a stewed tomato sauce, condiment. It can be done with a lot of different things. It can be done with grilled meats. It can be done with vegetables. It can be done with fish. But yeah, I mean, think of, in the French term, ratatouille is kind of the, French version of an Italian caponata. Eggplants, red peppers, sun-dried tomatoes, probably some red wine, rosemary. Yeah, all of those bright.
Capers? Do they ever put
Yeah, capers. Sure, you
olives?
Can fry them and put them on
mm-hmm.
top. Kind of plays kind of towards a cacciatore with the olive,
mm-hmm.
But vegetable based.
Yeah. So this is interesting because when I first saw the recipe, that's kind of what I was thinking. And this is very different from that.
Right.
And it's beautiful. But I love how you say it's deconstructed because you can see where it's got the parts in there.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Not all stewed together.
Sure. And just judging by the blushness of the wine, I think what you've brought kind of will pair into that, it not being such a traditional,
mm-hmm.
Heavy caponata that you might go a rosé or something on the lighter side with.
Yeah. So speaking of composition of the dish, or not even composition, but you mentioned it's not heavy, but the potato, the gnocchi.
Yeah.
I have this neighbor, and she was always an interesting character, but my husband's family would make gnocchi, and she always called them gut bombs.
Yeah,
which I thought was...
Right.
Not very nice when you spent like hours in the kitchen making these fluffy pillows of her gut bombs. But the potato is definitely a heartier appetizer.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I think when you were mentioning the wine, you definitely need something to kind of cut through that.
Sure. Richness.
Richness. Thank
of the
you.
Potato.
Yeah. And the aioli.
Now, going back to the tortelli?
Tortelli, correct.
Tortelli, okay. Yeah. I'm tasting a little bit of citrus or lemon.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of lemon zest in the center of the ricotta, just to kind of brighten it. Again, summertime flavors, I think, with pasta, especially like a dumpling-style pasta, mm-hmm. it's very easy to get rich in a summer dish. So I think the lemon zest kind of cuts through the pasta dough, the olive oil, the Parmesan, the eggplant on the bottom. So just kind of brightens it up, so to speak.
Yeah, it has a nice little boost or kick to it, but it's not overwhelming. Like, it doesn't overpower the tortelli. So I'm like, wow, this is really good.
Good. Glad you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carolyn, okay, so the email comes out. You're seeing gnocchi tots. You're seeing the tortelli. You're seeing the ingredients. You're seeing all these different things. What goes through your head when you're like, okay, I need to do this pairing? Do you pair it off of the tots? Do you pair it off of the pasta? Or... what goes in, because you brought this month, you brought a...
Mortellino.
Okay, so this month you brought a Mortellino, so...
Yeah, so the name of the brand, basically, or the estate is called Mortellino, and the wine is called Kalaniuru. it's kind of hard to pronounce. It's from Sicily. And so when I first looked at the dish, I just saw the caponata, which sure. I mentioned, because that, in my mind, has these really strong, bold flavors. And I wasn't sure what the preparation was going to be, because what I'm finding as I go around town and I look at menus is that even though you see something like a marinara mm-hmm. or, you know, the chef's interpretation of that dish could be very different. That was the first thing that went through my mind. I knew that they were both pastas, and I knew it was summer, so I didn't want to go with something very rich, heavy red wine. And I have to be honest, I actually tapped into the knowledge of my staff and let them choose this month's wine, which we've featured similar wines before. But this wine is a blend of a couple of different grapes. It's Frappato, which is a native grape of Italy, similar to Sangiovese, that is bright and acid, thin-skinned, very aromatic grape. And then they've blended that with Nero di Avola, which is a very thick-skinned, dark, bold grape that has more structure in tannin. And so they've blended those two to have a really well-balanced wine. And like you said, from the color, I think you can just see how pretty it all looks together.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we had something really, really dark, it might not look as pretty, but also would be overpowering for the wine or for the dish. And what you want is that bright acidity to kind of complement
sure.
your dish and all your creams.
And I love the wine that you chose. Would you ever consider chilling?
Oh, absolutely.
Selection?
I was going to mention that. Yeah. I would definitely chill this a little bit.
Yeah,
55, 60 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. Good summertime reds, which is something that I've been turned on, like an Italian Grignolino, I would compare, you know, very similar to this.
You know what? I actually considered that wine.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I chose this one. I think it's really interesting. We've had a couple Sicilian wines, and I think it's very on the radar right now.
Sure.
There's been, you know, poverty in Sicily, and so there's been a lot of vineyards that have kind of gone by the wayside, and there's a resurgence of natives there and people interested in reviving the vines. I don't think these vines are very old, which is kind of ironic. I got different information. I think they're about 5 to 7 years old. But what's happening on Sicily is there's a real natural movement. So, you know, there's no commercial yeast in this one. There's no pesticides, herbicides. Everything's picked by hand. It's a very small production. And this person, Dario, he used to sell all his grapes to some very well-known winemakers, and decided a few years ago to just go ahead and make his own wine. And so this project he started in 2014. So it's young and fresh, just, you know, and the wine's young and fresh.
So you said structure and tannin. What does that mean?
If you had a light-bodied wine, it would just kind of be kind of fleeting in your mouth. It wouldn't stay in your mouth a long time. But when you have structure, it's something that you can just tell it, like, is more mouth-filling. It's coating more of your mouth. The tannin is that drying feeling that you have from like a tea bag or
the natural characteristics of
right.
each grape, I think. You taste less of the alcohol, and again, you taste more of the grape when I think you get into a better varietals. Older grapes for sure mm-hmm. will definitely adhere those properties.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up, because one thing I don't really like tasting in my wine is alcohol.
Right.
I just want to taste, you know, sometimes it just tastes like grapes.
Right.
Or like this kind of meat, to me, when I first tasted it, had a lot of red fruit, like cranberry to it. And I think that there's a lot of cherry and raspberry in that bright, if you think about just in terms of fruit, mm-hmm. it's a bright fruit. Whereas something with more alcohol might have dark berry, blueberry, blackberry, and those tend to have higher alcohol. But even then, you don't have to taste the alcohol. So one thing I don't like, especially if I'm pairing it with a food, is I don't want to taste alcohol.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to taste a lot of wood. Wood, this has no wood, but wood should be well integrated into the wine. To me, it shouldn't be overwhelming.
Would you consider this a New World wine or an Old World
wine? No, I think it's definitely Old World. I mean, it's New World in the sense that it's very clean.
Right.
And it's not dirty. You're not getting that. There's an herbal quality to
okay.
this, but not too much so. I mean, I think that the fruit definitely comes more through than the herbs or the earth.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, it's New World. So when we talk about New and Old World,
mm-hmm.
New World would be anything, you know, from the Americas, New Zealand, Australia.
Okay.
So these are relatively you know, Australia's been been making wine for a while, but it's not old world as in Italy, you know, Greece, France, Spain, all of Europe. And there was a different winemaking style. So, you know, it's all come together with globalization over the last 20 years or so. But before, there were old world techniques that were bringing out terroir and earth and herbs and leather and tea and all of these different tastes than the new world, which was more fruit and wood and vanilla.
So with globalization, do you think wine takes off as like more intriguing, or do you think it sticks to its roots of being classically made?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I go through this, I contemplate this often because much of my staff and a lot of trend is to go to natural wines.
Okay.
And what I don't want to see in a natural wine is any flaws. I don't want to taste, to me, things that are off-putting, super funky notes.
A cover-up to the winemaking process.
Yeah. You know, wine should be accessible for everyone, so I don't want it to be confusing to listeners.
Mm-hmm. Well, the wine you brought today, is it an organic wine?
It is, yeah. Yeah, so the wine today is all also organically grown, so no herbicides, no pesticides. There's really nothing, not much, very little sulfur is added to it.
Very clean, then, a very
clean
wine.
Yeah, so in that sense, it's more, I guess, new world.
Yeah, and I guess kind of my question was, you know, in food, it seems like we just keep transforming and infusing things together. Globalization, cultures, fusion, again, I mean, this is very popular right now all over the world. So I think food has already kind of taken its stance on where it wants to go. I think the organic side of things is something that we'll need to get more in touch with the rate at which we are growing into these fusion cuisines. So like kind of back to wine, how do you want to drink your wine moving in the future? Do you want to drink old world wine? Do you want to drink new world wine? Do you want us to be like, hey, you know, Napa and Melbourne are throwing down on a new blend of wine that's the wine of the future, or do you want to see Italy and France are doing the same thing that they've done for thousands of years?
Yeah, I think now we have so many choices.
Right.
So it's really
where
up
do
to
we
them.
Go with those choices?
Well,
right?
I think it's all personal preference. So you should always go with what your personal preference. Like just because I say I don't want to taste alcohol doesn't mean that somebody who enjoys that part
that
of wine
thing for them.
Shouldn't have it. You know, for me personally, I'd like to see more balance. And I go back to Thanksgiving where I used to try to pair wines for people and urge them to drink certain wines with their turkey. But you know what? If they want an oaky Chardonnay,
choose
then
the wine
I'm going to give them an oaky Chardonnay. Or if they like Moscato.
Oh, that'd be me. Okay. She knows.
If Mindy wants Moscato with this, that's what I'm going to give her. Sure. I'm going to let her maybe try some of this, but I bet I could find a Moscato that would work.
So then, okay, going to the Moscato since you've gone there, but why red versus a white? With this pairing?
Well, I think we've featured a lot of whites.
Okay.
And it's interesting because when I look at this dish, I think, oh, white wine for sure.
Okay.
But I also don't necessarily think brightness and crispness and cleanness with red. Mm-hmm. This red happens to have a lot of the white characteristics.
Exactly.
So it pairs well with it, even though it's red. And
I,
it looks like
we should
have white.
I think you nailed the hammer on the head with this one. So especially chilling it, I think that would be fun. Do you ever put ice in your wine, or is that a total no-no?
Well, I would. Yes, of course I would. If it's really hot outside, I might put an ice cube or two in it. In general, I don't. You know,
I would agree with that.
Yeah, whatever people want. I mean, it's always kind of funny when you're at a dinner or something and somebody puts ice in a really nice glass of wine. You're like, oh my gosh. But that's what they like, so
that's
what we're going to give them.
Switching gears for just a second, Chef Garrett. Okay, so how do you come up with some of these creations? I know we talked earlier before we went on air, and you were telling me where you were from and that you're from Arkansas.
Yeah, originally from Arkansas.
Arkansas, and you moved out here, and that there wasn't a lot of culinary
area. Yeah, well, I mean, and a lot of that's grown through the grassroots movement of a lot of people kind of going back to their home, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And there's several good restaurants now all throughout the Midwest and the South, and I think we see more and more of those every day. But, you know, I think you could sum up how I want to cook with this tortelli dish here.
Okay.
Again, the way it's described and the way it's looked are kind of two totally different things. And I would like to say what we're doing at Sartos is kind of on the forefront of modern Italian cooking. So to press those bars and those limits every day, that's kind of probably why I made my move to a larger culinary scene. And I think it worked out. I mean, you know, we were having the conversation with how much Denver has exploded.
Well, yeah, past
and,
few years.
Yeah,
yes.
I think it was last summer it opened up more restaurants than any summer in its history. You know, there's so much competition out there, but at the same time, there's so many people, you know, giving good ideas every day. You know, so I think a lot of it's research on how we come up with our dishes. I think a lot of it's tasting. Trial and error is a big one. R&D is a big one. You know, we plan out our menu based on what's going to be in season. We change it up every season. We're actually going to do a menu change September 19th for fall, so right around the corner. And we're already doing research for those dishes right now. So
and that's what you were saying earlier, is like, because you had made the comment, things that I like to do. So you get to, is it you and a small team, or is it just
you in
general?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a team effort. You know, I think we have a staff of probably 10 to 15 in the kitchen at Sartos. And yeah, every single person, you know, has contribution on this menu somehow. Those who want to voice more and grow and learn more, we want to show that through our menu. So I think it's important. You know, that's kind of how my philosophy was coming up in a kitchen. And I want to teach that and exploit that. Okay. So,
and the dish is so delicious, and it's very refreshing with that zest in there. And even though it looks like a creamy sauce, it's not really a sauce. It's just, like you said.
Yeah, well, that's
like
just the eggplant on the bottom. That's the puree. So you're just seeing the eggplant in a little bit different form.
Okay.
And then the olive oil. We left it kind of textural, again, because to your point, a classic caponata is so textural, rich, heavy. You know, so we wanted to leave everything kind of elegant, in a sense.
And it's definitely elegant. You know, going back to choosing the red and the white wine, and when you would think lemon, you would definitely think white wine, but I remember as a kid, I used to get Kool-Aid, and we'd have lemonade and raspberry, or no, we'd have lemon Jell-O and raspberry Jell-O, and stick our fingers in it and mix it. And that's kind of what this reminds me of, in a good way,
you
have the lemon zest, and then you have like this raspberry flavor of the wine, and that's why sometimes you can make a red wine work with a white wine dish too. So you have those complementary flavors.
Wow. Okay.
And I definitely think we want to make food that, you know, reminds people of their childhood. That's
well, always, I don't know. I didn't eat this well when I was a kid, but I did eat well, but this is
not
awesome.
Not like this, yeah. Now, okay, so Sartos, you all are located at in Jefferson Park.
Jefferson Park, 2900 West 25th. You know, the neighborhood's evolving a lot. There's all kinds of concerts in the park. We've got the pantry next door to Sartos that's taking off for lunch. Catering, we offer cooking classes on the weekend, brunch and learn, which we've launched for about a year now. We're also doing kind of tasting menus, you know, at nighttime, taking advantage of the Cicchetti Bar. And, you know, the interesting thing I always fell in love with about Sartos is the versatility of the space. If you've never been there, please check it out. You know, the Verona Room is great for large parties and holiday events. You know, there's probably not as bright or light of a dining hall in Denver as there is at Sartos, in my opinion. You know, especially from a cook standpoint or a chef's standpoint, you know, to see it snowing all day long while you're cooking is, you know, such a feat considered, you know, a lot of places people have worked. You know, it's always that dark iron cloud image of a kitchen, and I think Sartos does a very good job to refresh in that. So
which is probably reflected in your food.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So if I want to come by, do I need a reservation or...?
Reservations are taken online. You can also do them through Open Table. You can also call the pantry as well.
Once again, what is the address? Where are you all at?
Yeah, 2900 West 25th, just right there on 25th and Elliott in Jefferson Park, right across I-25 and right next to the Highlands.
And Sartos.com?
Sartos.com just relaunched our website. There's tons of fun information on there. You can sign up and inquire about any large events or cooking classes or anything all through our website.
Okay, and I'll put a link there as well so
Perfect.
People can go to that. And Carolyn, since this pairing is happening on the last Wednesday of the month, are you all going to tasting for this wine?
We're going to be tasting this wine along with, I think we're going to do one other frappato, and then we're going to do another white. So it's a great opportunity. Like you said, a lot of small businesses, I think, are starting to create experiences for customers that large corporations, large restaurants don't do, large retailers don't do. So, you know, during our tastings, we want to expose people to fun, fresh wines, knowledgeable people. Sometimes we have winemakers in there, and it's just meant to be fun. So yes, come on down and try something you haven't had.
Okay, great. Well, I'd like to say thank you both very much for stopping by. Carolyn, you're on 6th and Marion.
Yep.
Telephone number there?
303-744-6219. Another thing I'd like to mention is that we have plans for our chili cook-off coming up, which is going to be October 20th. And we're going to be working with Same Cafe, which is a great organization, bringing fresh, healthy food to people that might not have access to it normally. And it's sure to be a great event.
I highly recommend it. Not only is the food really good, honestly, I was there and they give you, you would think, oh, a little 1 ounce sample cup. Oh, I'm fine. Oh my gosh. I couldn't finish because when you've got over 40 different restaurants there, you're getting all these different samples and the money goes to a great cause. So there definitely will be, you know, just some information put up on the KUVO website as well. Great. So hopefully Sartos can be there, but need a phone number in case we want to reach you for anything.
Yeah. Just give a shout at 303-455-1400. You could also reach out to Christy@privatefittings.com to help any of your private events, or sartos.com again to make reservations.
All right, this time, because we always do a clink with the glass, I'm going to try it on the bottle. Do you think it would be good if we clink
on
the bottle? Okay, so thank you both for being here. 1, 2, 3.